All right, welcome to Tabby Hour. Yeah. So today we've got Michael Kelly from GVL Daily. Reached out on Instagram and thought what you're doing is cool. So we haven't done one of these in a while.
I appreciate it.
It has been a hot minute.
Got my cousin Tucker Laughlin down from DC helping with the Tabby launch this week.
That's right.
But Michael, let's start with kind of your story. Where are you from and how'd you end up in Greenville and what is GVL Daily?
I'm originally from Florida. I moved here about like 3.5 years ago now. Didn't know a soul here. Moved here with my parents. Just wanted to escape the hurricanes of Florida. Shout out all my Florida Indians right now dealing with that hurricane. Glad I'm not you.
Yeah, it's coming right up the Gulf.
Yeah. So I'm super glad to be living in South Carolina right now.
Yeah. Like,
especially with all that. So moved to Greenville pretty much because of the hurricanes. And just really wanted to explore the area. Didn't know anything about Greenville before I moved here. So kind of figured that doing some photography was a way to learn the area when everything was shut down. So I can't meet anyone. Really, everything you had to do virtually or like online. So the one platform I knew was Instagram. So I kind of took some photography, started GVL Daily, and just kind of ran with it.
And you started that with an iPhone. Correct.
I started, originally with my iPhone, and then within like 2 months, I bought my drone. Then within like 2 weeks of having my drone, I started getting nasty messages like, "You're destroying the industry. What are you doing?" But I wasn't charging. I was just taking pictures, nothing commercial about it. Just taking pictures of around Greenville during COVID, and like people were sending me nasty messages because I was just like, I guess taking good photos, and it was
hurting. What were you destroying though?
Yeah, a lot of these drone guys, like I don't know, like a lot of these people have been doing it, like the big guys in the area, they've been doing it for like 10-15 years.
Yeah, since inception.
Yeah, so I mean, now that they have drones, like these guys originally started with drones that were $10,000-$15,000.
Yeah,
and now some dude who just moved here can go and buy a $2,000 drone and do exactly what they're doing. I think it hurt their feelings a little bit.
That's okay. So what was your full-time job when you first moved here?
So I worked in hospitality for like 10, 15 years, from country clubs in Florida to the Marriott hotels. And I opened the AC Hotel like right when like COVID was kind of peaking. And I was like, you know what? I never want to do this again, and quit. Just walked out. Never went back. And that was the best thing I ever did.
I think there's a lot of, I mean, as you look at 2021, I think something crazy, like 40% of the restaurant industry quit. It's over 20 million people.
Yeah.
And so COVID took an already tough industry to be in and made it unbearable for some workers.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to wait tables or bartend.
I don't blame them. Yeah. Like there's no amount of money. You could raise the minimum wage for servers, $25 an hour.
Yeah.
You still, like, I still wouldn't even consider it.
So how did you gain your following? Because it's unique. Your following is unique in that it's very local.
Yeah. So before I moved here, I did a lot of research on hashtags. So Visit Greenville, they're amazing. Like, what they do for this community and all the marketing and PR that they do is, like, seriously, unbelievably top-notch. So when I saw that they had that Greenville hashtag, I followed it, and then I would go through that feed of people using that Greenville, and I would just, whenever I, like, you go to the recent posts, then you see all the recent people using it. So you just going through all the local posts that have the that Greenville hashtag, and those are all people that live in Greenville.
Do you know where did that originate, the that Greenville?
So I actually, they created it. I think they created it 8 years ago. And I know there's Visit Greenville is our like tourism. They do like, they handle all that. Like whenever all the PR, whenever you see them in the news, this, that, it's Visit Greenville and their PR company that runs it. And they started it 8 years ago. I think they said there's 38 Greenvilles in the United States. So they wanted it to be that Greenville.
Yeah.
And it just a simple, basic hashtag, and
No, I've heard. I've heard of subway cars in New York having big signs and pictures of downtown Greenville that say, "Yeah, that Greenville."
Yeah,
like in New York City.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
Well, the woman who Taryn is the woman, but behind TK, like she does TK PR. She's from New York, so I think a lot of her style of marketing comes from that like big city.
Yeah,
and she's kind of like toned it back and is now like doing what she would do in New York for Greenville.
Sure.
So that's why it's like you see Greenville in the big spotlight, because I mean that's the goal, to get everyone to know that Greenville.
What was your first shoot that you did that you were like, oh, this might actually, I might actually turn this into something that I pursue at GVL Daily?
I don't know. That's tough. Like, I think when I started shooting some markets, like, the response I got from shooting some of these markets around here, because Florida, we didn't really have farmers markets. Like, there wasn't much farming in Florida. Like, there's oranges, like, and then maybe some, like, smallberry, like, strawberry farms, but, like, that's out middle nowhere, central Florida. But where I'm from, there's just, like, orange groves. Like, Immokalee, that was just acres and acres of orange.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just, I think it was shooting the things that I couldn't shoot in Florida. I was like, okay, you know what? People really like this. I'm just going to keep doing it. And
it was mostly pictures at first.
Yeah. I mean, I still really don't do video because I just loathe video editing.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. Even editing this, it's kind of like,
yeah, it's like what, like, I feel like it like takes the, like when you're doing photos, like it's a lot of color and you're a lot of like that type of stuff. But with video, it's a lot of like structured timing, and it's, for me, it's not as fun.
Yeah.
So if I don't like doing it, I'm not going to do it.
That's, I mean, I started GVL Views as a complete hobby, and I have, you know, less than 1,000 followers or something, but it literally, it's just for me to put pictures, and Instagram doesn't like pictures anymore. They've moved everything to Reels and TikTok and video, and I don't care because I'm not trying to monetize. I just want to take cool pictures of Greenville.
Yeah.
But I think I, you know, the one of the first things that stood out to me was you had an organic following of people, and you could post something about a little market or some event that's happening in Greenville, and it would get like 2,000 likes and shares and all these comments. And it's like, man, this, who is this guy? Like, and I think that was one of the first things I thought was, let's, you put so much content out there around Greenville, and so many people recognize and know you as GVL Daily, but they don't actually know Michael Kelly.
Yeah. I, to be honest, that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go in a place. I don't want to be treated special. Like,
yeah,
I want to go in somewhere. Am I allowed to curse?
My guy. Yeah, I mean,
I want to go in somewhere, and I don't want people to treat me differently. Like, if you're going to treat me like shit, treat me like shit. I don't want you to know, oh, that's GVL Daily, let's do, like, no. Like, I want to walk in and just get an, like, authentic experience.
Because you do a lot of restaurant stuff, too.
Yeah. Well, I started doing a lot of, like, parks and this and that, and I've, whenever I do parks, it's, I don't, like, a lot of the, like, bad experiences I've had are shooting parks of, like, people, what are you, a cop? What are you, spying on people?
Yeah.
So, like, now, like,
people don't understand.
No, like people, one, they don't know, like, I'm licensed by the FAA. There's very few places in Greenville that I can't fly. And it's not that I can't fly, it's just I have to put a waiver in with the FAA.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have this misconception that, like, the police regulate the airspace. Police can't tell me what to do at all.
Yeah.
Unless, like, they can request my license, and that's it. Like, the FAA is the one that could be like, hey, we're grounding you. But then all of that stuff is put in through it's called LAANC. Yeah. And I can open that app and it'll show me how high I can fly, where I can fly. And if they put little airspace, like when the president landed at, I don't know if it's GSP or somewhere in Greer, they literally block off the airspace.
Yeah.
Like, totally. And
your drone won't even take off.
No, my drone can't even take off.
Yeah.
So it's, unless you're the FAA, you really, like, people don't understand that. I can fly anywhere. I'm respectful of people's property. I'm not going to go and fly over, like, this person's house, start looking down in their yard. Like, that's just not right, like, ethically.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah, but if you're at Unity Park,
yeah,
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's public space. It's city-owned property.
Yep.
And you have a license from the FAA to fly. So
that was actually an issue this year with the Greenville Police Department was going around and telling people that they couldn't fly. And these are all like licensed guys. Like some of the, like there's three or four drone guys I know in the area, and we all do everything by the books. We got our lights, we got our waivers, we got our authorizations. We do everything by the book. And these cops are coming, like, saying, oh, you can't fly here. You're interfering with our drones. One, that's BS. Like,
yeah.
We all know that you fly DJI drones and all of the channels. We could fly 10 of our DJI drones in the same space. Not going to interfere. It's like, I do a lot of stuff with the Greer, like, police department. And I literally just have, I'm on, like, a first-name basis with the officer in charge of the drones. They have the Greer Eats and Arts Festival this weekend, and I literally just called them and I was like, hey, I'm gonna be shooting there. Where would you like me to shoot from? What altitude are you guys gonna be flying at? And then we just agreed out upon an altitude for me to stay at, and it's like we work together.
And they're probably pretty chill about it, like, yeah, just stay around 250 or whatever, or below, and
you're good to go. So actually in like downtown Greer, they actually changed the airspace now, so it's 200 feet for the maximum because GSP Airport, like, the planes coming and out. So it's so weird. Like, you could have one block where they limit you to 100 feet, and then you go over 50 feet, and it's 2 miles.
Yeah,
like you're.
I've got a DJI. I'm a hobbyist. I don't have the Part 107 yet. You've actually incentivized me to go do it. I don't ever plan on trying.
It's
to.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Everyone hypes it up to be so difficult.
I don't ever plan on trying to go make money with my drone. I just want, there's some places I want to be able to fly that are really cool, mostly for tabby stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
Just tabby events.
But the thing is, the tabby events, that's commercial now.
Yeah, it's true.
So now you need your 107.
Yeah.
That if you take that now and you use that in a reel for tabby, that's commercial now.
Yeah.
So it's, a lot of people don't realize that, like, it turns commercial real quick.
Sure.
Like, if you're just, like, taking family photos, you're on a vacation, like, if you're just, like, travel bloggers, they're getting paid. So even then, or if you're posting it on YouTube, like, you now have to have your Part 107. But a lot of people don't really follow it, and the FAA doesn't really do a good job at enforcing it. So
the FAA hates drones. They have a vindictive mindset, in my opinion. I think that they would do away with drones if they could.
Yeah, I think so.
At least for hobbyists. They would require everybody to have a Part 107.
I would like that. Because the people who are hobbyists that are, like, doing the reckless stuff, it's making us look bad.
Sure.
And it's like, I went and shot the, what was it, SIP on the roof?
Yep.
And the regional manager came down and, like, berated me, like, what are you doing? Like acted like I wasn't allowed to fly that there. Like, there's a local DJ who was doing an event there, and he's got a whole new light set up. So I just took my drone, went around the outside of the building, and then I make sure I don't fly over anyone. So I then, like, went over an awning, then went up on top of the rooftop. So I wasn't flying over anyone. I was just shooting the crowd and getting a couple videos around the outside. And this guy's like, what are you doing? Who told you could fly there? And I was like,
the FAA.
hold up. And I'm like, I got pretty snarky with him real quick. And I was like, the FAA did. Like, why are you doing it? Because I can.
Yeah.
Because I can. Like,
and it's your... So that GVL Daily is your full-time business now?
I still do real estate. Like, so I did like 3 deals last month. So, I mean, the real estate is kind of what allows me to spend so much time on the photography and the videography. So that's, the real estate has helped me, like, fund all the time that I've put into GVL Daily. So a lot of the stuff for the first, I mean, I really didn't start actually pushing, like, paid stuff until, like, the last 6 months. So everything I did for a year and a half, I did for free. Whereas most of these drone guys would charge like $200 an hour.
Were hashtags the way you grew the following? Mostly?
Pretty much, yeah.
Interesting.
That's my little secret. Like,
yeah. I mean, everybody uses them. Everything, I feel like everything you see these days is GVL, yeah, that Greenville, GVL Lifestyle, GVL 360. Like, everybody's posting all the things, but...
GVL is like that's Greenville. It's like, whenever you, like... You see bumper stickers that say GVL. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's our Greenville. I don't really see GVL, any of the other Greenvilles. Like, I'm always sorting through the Greenville hashtags and all that stuff. And our Greenville just floods it. So when I'm going through the GVL hashtags, like, it's pretty much everyone who lives in Greenville. So that's kind of what really helped me build it, was just by sorting through, going through the Greenville SE hashtag and just liking people's posts. Like,
well, I think the testament to, you know, you just got a full-size camera recently.
Yeah, like 2 months ago.
The fact that you built this somewhat, I mean, it's a business at this point.
Yeah.
You built a business with an iPhone in photography.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that's a testament to how great the iPhones are.
Yeah.
But also, like, impressive to just use the gear you have. Like, you don't need to go buy the $5,000 new camera.
It's like,
you can shoot on an iPhone.
You can start off, like,
yeah.
I mean, I started with my drone. I'm still learning. Like, with my regular camera, it's going to take me a while. I still don't feel like I'm at where I could be. There's a local drone guy, Van Zeppelin Aerial. He kills it. Yep. Kills it. Absolutely kills it. And it's like, that is where one day I'd like to be. But, I mean, I've been doing this for 2 years now, and I don't even think I'm a quarter as good as him.
It's fun, man. It's a fun community because most of the people in that community are just pretty laid back and like to talk. I mean, that's kind of how you and I met.
Yeah.
And then I met David Michael recently from my PR lab.
Yep.
And that event that got rained out, unfortunately, yeah, this weekend. But I was like, hey, so you have some drone pilots that you're paying to be there. Like, who are they?
They weren't paying. Anyone.
But I was like, oh, I know Michael. Yeah, that's cool. So I'm excited to, hopefully we can both make that work next weekend.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun to coordinate some shots. And because you can, it's really cool to have one drone, but when you can start flying two succinct, it makes me
nervous because, like, I bought my drone used from a friend. He owned a car dealership, and a guy had bought that drone and he needed a car. So my friend took that drone in as like a down payment for a car. And he knew that, like, I had been talking about, like, wanting a drone. So he gave me a really good deal on that.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's how I really got into it.
What makes you nervous, though? You said...
So the water. I don't have a warranty on that.
I was thinking about that.
So when I wreck it, I've wrecked it like 3 times now. It's not... If I wreck it into a tree and I break an arm, it's like...
Send it to DJI.
It's like $250 bucks.
Yeah.
Not too bad. If I wrecked out in a lake, that's going to be me requiring to probably spend $3,000 on the new DJI Mavic 3, which I really want, but I need more stuff on my regular camera now.
Yeah. So what goes into the Part 107? I mean, you say it's easy. I've looked at it. It's not common sense stuff. Like, you have to understand weather maps and patterns and clouds and... I mean, like, I've heard people say, I mean, it's the same test that pilots go take.
It's similar. So, like, I was actually in the testing center taking my Part 107 when a guy was taking his actual, like, full-fledged pilot's license. And it's so when you are a regular pilot, I think you inherently get your 107. I think. I'm not 100% sure. But
I mean, if you can fly an aircraft, I think you could fly a drone.
Yeah. Literally. And I mean, that, and it's really more about where you can fly, how high you can fly, and how close you can come to things. So it's like, yeah, if there's a tower, you have to be a certain feet from it horizontally, and then it actually, that there's exceptions that if you're doing a tower inspection for like a radio tower, and that tower's like 400 feet, you're allowed to take your drone, I think it's 100 feet above that, like, the highest thing, because planes avoid those towers by a certain amount. So it's like, although once I go above 400, now I'm in airspace of a regular plane. But because of that tower's there, the regular pilots know that, okay, there's a tower there. They have to be at 1,000 instead of 500. So it allows, like, you have to know how high you can fly and, like, where you can fly. And that's pretty much the entire test.
Yeah. So what do you have coming up? I know Fall for Greenville is huge. I'm sure you're going to be covering that.
Fall for Greenville. I really want to get the fall. Like, last year, I just missed it. Like, I was just too busy doing other stuff. But, like, this year, I'm going to go heavy on the...
Going to the mountains?
Yep. Get the mountains, chains. Fall foliage. I want to get, like, the colorful Greenville this year. So that's going to be my goal for the next couple months, is getting some beautiful fall pictures to people love color. People love the like crazy HDR, like the really vivid stuff. So like, I think I'm gonna work on.
That'd be a fun day. Let's collab on that and go do a shoot.
Yeah,
okay. Let's ride up to the mountains.
So there's another drone guy, Carolina Waterfall Chaser.
He's amazing.
He is incredible. Like follow him,
Carolina Waterfall Chaser. If you're listening, please.
He's incredible.
And let's hang out.
Yeah, like I've still personally not met him. I'm like, let's finally collab. Like I've been talking to this guy like back and forth since I got my drone, and he's like, I was like, dude, get your Part 107. Get your part 107.
Yeah, I think
he finally got it like 2 months ago. He's like, you inspired me. I was like, was the test hard? He goes, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, he goes on these hikes to the, first of all, I'm like, where are these amazing waterfalls that are apparently within 45 minutes of us? All of them are like up in the
Everything is like, I mean, like a little bit. If you go like 30 minutes north of Traveler's Rest, and then you go like Pickens and. There are waterfalls all over the place.
Table Rock has a lot of that
and
stuff.
I mean, a lot of these waterfalls are only accessible by drone.
Like,
so it's like he's getting shots. Like people are like, where are these waterfalls? It's like, actually, that waterfall was 50 feet of you at this big park that you've walked past it probably 50 times.
Sure.
So it's like, it's cool. What he's doing is like he's showing off the parks, like pretty much just the parks in a perspective that no one's seen and you can't see unless you have a drone.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm kind of showing off the city in a perspective that a lot of people don't, you can't see unless you have a drone. And he's showing off now like the nature part of Greenville. So it's cool like going back and forth, sending pictures from him to me. And like he'll send me some stuff before he posts it. I'm like, where is this?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's just 50 feet. But then he knows all the times like...
I always appreciate that he wears like the bright red coat.
Yeah, that's
put himself in the shot and kind of like it's a small, tiny, but that's
and like he wheels out.
It's like a signature, yeah.
Yeah, it's like he just always wears his bright red jacket. So it's like then it really puts a perspective of the waterfall, like how big they are.
Yeah.
Because like if you look in that picture, you're gonna see this tiny little like red speck.
Yeah.
And that's him. And he does like that's he's kind of made that his thing, and which is what I thought was really cool because like now whenever you see his pictures, you like you look for that little him in that red jacket, and you can see how big that waterfall is. So it was something neat that he started doing that I was like, man, like I like that. Like that's kind of like your branding.
Yeah,
is that red jacket and the waterfalls like
something
keep
to
doing
differentiate.
That? Yeah, it's cool.
So have you been out to the falls to shoot it?
I haven't. No, like that's one of my main things that I'm going to be doing this like over the next couple months.
That's a good, yeah, we need to do that in the fall. You've inspired me now. I'm going to go, you both of you guys,
well,
I'm going to go hiking and chase some waterfalls.
I would really like to do like a drone like meetup.
Yeah.
And everyone go shoot because.
We should do that.
Like there's a lot of drone guys in Greenville, but like I feel like everyone's kind of doing their own thing. Like some people specialize in the waterfalls. I do like downtown and events. There's people that do real estate. There's so many different uses for drones that it's like I kind of would like to meet up with everyone and just do some like content creation and
just get to know the community.
Yeah,
you know,
we all got to work together because if anyone had called me like on the 4th of July where I took off from, I didn't get bothered by the cops because I knew. I knew, super secret squirrel. I knew that there was going to be issues. Like I knew that. There's going to be a lot of people in that area, and like I know the police aren't very well versed in drones, so I ended up taking off from Paw Paws USA. They, like my dog's actually an ambassador for their brand.
Oh, nice!
They make homemade collars, dog collars, and leashes and stuff. Like
shout out Paw Paw.
Yeah, Paw Paws USA. Shout out.
Nice.
And so I took off from their parking lot, which literally is right next to the park. So. They couldn't see me with my controller like flying it, and I took it off from somewhere that's off to the side, so all the police are in the park.
Yeah,
they're not going to find me off.
There's
off
no
in
way.
A parking lot.
Yeah, they have to find the human with the controller. They can't. I mean, they may see the drone in the sky, but what are they going to do about that?
I mean, it is registered, so there's like a remote ID on it, and it's registered with the FAA. So,
but they would have to go through the FAA to get that.
They would have to, they wouldn't be able to because I was legally allowed to fly at that time.
Yeah.
Like, I had my little 3 mile visible blinker on, and the airspace wasn't restricted. I put in my LANC request, got approval for 396 feet, and
You're good to go.
I'm good to go.
No one
could tell me what to do. And I really didn't want to have to, like, argue with a cop. I'm not trying to cause issues. I just want to be able to do what I do without someone, like, impeding on, like, trying to act like they know more than me. Because I'm not going to tell a cop how to do their job. Don't tell a pilot how to do his job.
Right.
Yeah. You're just trying. You're trying to provide content for Greenbelt.
Yeah.
I mean, you've kind of emerged as the drone content creator. I mean, you've got, what, 11,500?
Something like that. 11-ish.
So where does the unintentional influencer stem from?
So, I mean, a lot of people have been calling me an influencer now because, like, I post a lot of restaurants and places and parks, and people will be like, oh, I went there because of your post.
Sure.
So it's like, I don't tell people, like, hey, like, you have to go here. Or, like, hey, I'm not trying to sell anything. Like, I'm not linking bio to buy my socks, or, like, I'm not trying to sell you the shirt off my back. Like, I'm not trying to monetize off of, like, lifestyle or any of that. So it's like, I guess people are more influenced to, like, check out places because they look cool and, like, the food looks good or this park looks beautiful. Like, I want people to, like, go to places because they want to go to it, like, not because, like, I don't want people to think that, like, I'm influencing, like, hey, you have to go here.
Sure.
It's like, I want people to just go on their own and be like, oh, I saw that park. Hey, let's go check that out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, like, it to, like, feel, like, intentional, like I'm pushing anything on anyone.
No, I mean, I think it feels very organic. You're following, people appreciate it. How do you go about finding, you know, places that you wanna shoot and kind of share with the Greenbelt public?
So, like, I know, like, I guess imitation is the biggest form of flattery. So I know there's a lot of, like, PR people and marketing people, and I'll see the clients that they're working for, and then I'll, like, these people are pushing, like, when these big PR companies and marketing companies are pushing a business, I mean, they're putting tens of thousands of dollars into those pushes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of ride their tailcoats. Like, if you're pushing up this business, if I think it's a cool business, I'll go and push it too. And if there's enough of a wave that they're building, then it, like, it falls back on me, because I think what I do with the drone is cooler than what a lot of them will just hire regular photographers. So the regular photographers don't have a drone. So I feel like sometimes my content ends up being a little bit cooler than some of the business's content. So it's like, I think it then brings a lot of people to my content. So it's,
well, and you're not trying to get paid by the PR firm, you're not trying to get paid by the business, and you're not trying to sell your socks on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's just you may monetize a post based on likes and shares, and
I do get
the
paid
algorithm.
I get paid off reels.
Okay.
So, like, if I get I'm not even ever getting close to it, but, like, if you hit 11,200,000 views on your reel, you get, like, $1,200 a month, which $1,200 a month, like, for a content creator, like, I mean, that's enough to, I make about $100 a month off of my reels.
Yeah.
It's like, they kind of, like, step it up that, like, the first 100,000 views, you get, like, $100. And then after that, they just crush it and you get, like, a quarter of a penny a view. So it's like, pretty much every month I can easily make $100. And I have my Adobe suite. I have my Google Drive that does all my, like, storage, email, all that. So, I mean, I'm pretty much, like, breaking even. Like, otherwise I would be having to pay, like, a little over $100 just to run my page.
Yeah.
So it's like, the reels really help me, like, pay for my website, pay for my stuff.
It's interesting. You know, I feel like anything in tech, it's been the Wild West and then it evolves. So, like, when influencers started getting paid on YouTube, if you got 50,000 follows or likes or subscriptions, like, you were getting paid for that.
Oh, yeah.
Now they've upped it so much to where it's like, you've got to have 20 million, 11 million, 800 views to even get $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
It is interesting to see the guys that have went full in and are making $250,000 a year.
There's a lot. There's a lot of people that are just, I mean, they're starting YouTube channels, doing podcasts like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's consistency. It's like how I built my Instagram. Like, I may be up to, like, 12,000 followers, but, like, that was a lot of work, a lot of time. Like, if this was a video game and you can do slash play to see how many hours I've probably put into engaging and liking and stuff, it would probably be in the thousands of hours.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not getting paid, or at least I wasn't until I started like actually doing the photography and kind of just freelancing. That like if I go to this restaurant grand opening, they'll be like, hey, like I like that photo. I was like, I'd love to sell it to you guys for marketing. But if it's like a mom and pop business, like my rate varies, like based on like how much money. Like if it's a commercial franchise, they're gonna probably get on a higher, because one, that image is gonna reach out to way more people. So it's like a little mom and pop business, like I'll give them a different rate than a commercial where they're gonna use it for marketing and print. And it's kind of, that's what I've.
How do you correlate your website with the socials?
I don't even have a website yet.
You don't?
No. I thought
you had gvldaily.com.
Oh, I own the URLs.
Okay.
I own all the URLs, but I've tried to build a website, and it ends up being something that like, it's like that one thing. It's like if I don't like doing it, I just after like I'll try it for like a couple hours, and if I don't like it, I'm just like eh. So I mean, I probably could, if I started the website and built an email list and all that stuff and kind of more commercialized it, I'm sure I could be in a much different place than I am now. But I kind of want to like kind of just build it organically. Like
eventually, that's the question. What's next?
I really would like a website. I would like to build like an email list and website to post events, but it's like I would like to kind of share more of the smaller markets, the smaller business grand openings, or like that kind of stuff. Like whereas a lot of other marketing pages around here, their fees are very high. Like I've seen some of like I guess the bigger Instagram pages that also have websites. And I've seen like their monthly, like how much they charge for a post, or if you want them to do a giveaway, I'm like, my God, like it's so much money that they're charging.
Yeah, we've avoided all that with Tabby.
Yeah.
It's like we're just trying to create we're creating organic
content. Organically, you're going to, like, I mean, I see people that have 3 times the followers and we'll make the same post and my post will generally outperform it. It's because it's like, it's organic. I have like actual Greenville people that are following me and engaging with my content. And it's like, I think it's a lot of like when I'll sort through the people that I haven't like engaged with in a while. And I'll go and like some stuff that I haven't in a while. And I think that also helps bring like, I think it might help with the algorithm to get more people to see my posts by like liking people that I haven't engaged with. So there's a lot of like strategy that I've.
There's kinda, a lot to know about.
I'm just learning. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, what I do may not work for someone else. Someone else may be doing the same thing I do, or it could be a tangible strategy that people actually do.
The support from Greenville though is there. I mean, people appreciate it. You got a lot of following, and people engage with the content.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I really wanted. Was I want relatable content. Like I don't want like commercialized content. Like you're not going to see me holding a cup of coffee or eating this plate from a restaurant. Like I don't really want it to be about me. I want it to be about Greenville.
The thing that I appreciate about Greenville is people are willing to support something that's here.
Oh yeah.
You know, so we launched Tabby, the mobile app, this week. And I mean, kind of a guerrilla campaign of grassroots downtown Greenville, like, hey, check out this app. You know, it's not just this social thing. It's, you can pay bar tabs. And the response was like, wait, you guys are from here and you live here and this company is based out of Greenville. I'll support it just because of that.
Yeah.
There's a large demographic of people that are like, I like things that have to do with Greenville. Greenville's unique in that.
Yeah. It's very small business. Locally owned, like, focus. That, like, if a franchise comes into the town, if it's a locally owned franchise, you'll see them thrive. But if it's, like, just a big commercialized franchise where it's not locally owned, you won't see the hype build for it. I mean, I guess Lewis Barbecue is kind of an anomaly for that because Greenville's a foodie town.
Yeah, but they're out of Charleston.
Yeah, they're still a South Carolina-based business. Enough.
So yeah. South Carolina, there's a lot of businesses going to South, you know, from Charleston to Greenville. Jeremy and Kristen, I've talked about, like, at what point do we start exporting from Greenville to Charleston? What kind of businesses are going to be growing down? I know Tabby will be in Charleston very soon. So Greenville's getting to the point where we can start to export and have Greenville chains. Society's one of them, I think. I think they could do very successfully in a lot of different cities.
I would be surprised if Jeremy isn't already working on that. Like, I would be surprised. Like, yeah. I feel like he was really wanting to get everything set up, and I feel like Society is really set up now. Like, they're winning awards, like, best new restaurant, best this, best that. And, like, I feel like Society's ready to expand to either somewhere else in South Carolina, or I could see Society in Charlotte or Atlanta. Like, it's really, like, I mean,
It's been about a year since he's been on Tabby Hour, and we talked the other night. We're going to do an updated shoot. He's got some things in the works. He's not ready to talk about it yet. Oh, yeah. When he's ready to talk about it, we're going to put it on here, and he's got some cool stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's a great dude. He lent me like $6,000 in lenses to shoot Euphoria.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked. He's like, hey, do you need any lenses? Because he's a phenomenal photographer himself.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
And he actually shoots all the stuff for Society. So if you see any of the content that's on Society, that's from Jeremy.
Yeah.
So it's like, not only is he a business, like, running everything in the background, he's also creating that content.
A graphic designer that's created, like, all the merch and all the...
Very White Rabbit Supply Company. Like, he's just a super, super talented dude. Super down to earth. Like, it's great seeing like someone like him thrive in Greenville, because he deserves it.
Yeah, he introduced me to the guys out at All American T-shirt Company, and I went out there. And Mike, who's actually going to be on the podcast soon, does all the White Duck and Society and Tabby gear too. But they got like a 3-hour screen printing lesson. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
they have out there, but.
Screen printing is cool. Like, I'm not a big fan of like the new style, like direct to garment, where they just like print it like a printer. Like, I just don't like. I mean, sometimes it just like it just like pulls apart. Like it when you wash it a couple times, like I feel like it fades. Whereas screen printing, it's more expensive, way more labor, but I just feel like the quality is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, Society's got great apparel, great hats.
Yeah,
yeah,
great merch overall.
Well, Michael, this was fun, man. I'm glad we could make this happen, have you on the podcast and tell kind of the story of who's behind GVL Daily.
Yeah.
Cool. And I look
totally something that I normally wouldn't do.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone to you know.
Well, I appreciate you doing it, and I look forward to collabing together. I mean, we both have a lot of similar interests.
So yeah.
Just be friends and figure
out. I'd love to work together, create some content, shoot some stuff out in the boat.
Yeah.
Fly some drones.
Yep. All right. Well, cheers, fellas.